is over every one of us. The Lord is our light and our salvation. The Lord is the strength of our life. The Lord go before and behind us. The Lord take care of us. Every need met according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. Your riches and your glory. Lord, we thank you that we have divine health, divine peace, divine wealth, divine joy, divine influence. Our steps are ordered by you. We are not part of evil, but we are only part of the goodness of God. When evil falls the earth, it escapes us. In the name of Jesus, covered by the blood of Jesus, walking in perpetual victory, success to success, victory to victory, the Lord Jesus is our portion. We bless your holy name. Our children shall excel in every area of their life, in their schoolwork, in their career, in their marriages, everything that pertains to them. The Lord reigns. We are the property of the living God. The Most High God is our portion in the land of the living. We are blessed in the city and in the country and wherever we go. The blessings of God pursue us and overtake us. We give you praise. Thank you for our assigned angels. They are all working on our behalf. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe this, say a big amen. 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 Bless you, children. See you later. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, we welcome you into our lives, into the service, into this house. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, our scripture reading this morning. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for Pastor Paul and Pastor Pat and all our pastors, Pastor Henry, Pastor Choice, and all those who helped while we were gone. And we thank God for the homegoing of Mrs. B. And she was faithful in the house until she got old and things happened, and she's gone to heaven and join her husband and the other saints that have gone before us. We pray this morning for her family, that God will continue to comfort and strengthen them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. She wanted to go home, so she said she was satisfied and she wanted to go home, and home she went. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You should praise God for the living and the dead, especially if they die in Christ. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Psalm 68 is what we're reading. It's a little bit long, so let's just read on. Praise the Lord. Let God arise. All these psalms, they were all sung. David played his harp and sang them to the Lord. It's just that we don't know how to sing them, but some people are beginning to compose the psalms and begin to sing them again. So let us read. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Say amen. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. I say amen. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Are there righteous people in this house this morning? Hallelujah. I rejoice before you, O my Lord and my God. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. Hallelujah. The person riding above you this morning is God himself. Hallelujah. Every heaven covered by his glory. So nothing evil is above your head, only the living God. Say, Lord, ride above my heavens. Say amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Hallelujah. I have a father this morning. My earthly father has moved to heaven long time ago. So all I have now is my heavenly father. Praise the Lord. Of course, we have apostle, yes, father in the house, but we have a heavenly father this morning. He's our father. Abba, Abba. Verse 6, God said that the solitary in families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Everyone bound in any member of our families, be free from the chains of Satan in the name of Jesus. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Somebody say, that's my God. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thy inheritance when it was weary. May God confirm you even when you are weary today. Fresh, fresh anointing. Fresh wind of the Holy Ghost. Fresh favor. Fresh glory. In the name of Jesus. As the dew comes down, so may the glory of God come upon our lives. Fresh dew in Jesus' mighty name. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Somebody shout hallelujah. In any area of our lives where we are poor today, in the spirit, in the physical, emotionally, any area, may God be our portion. May his goodness override. Goodness of God override every poverty in my life. In the name of Jesus, you better be saying a big amen. Amen. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. May you be great as you tell somebody about Jesus. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. May we be the one that divides spoil. Spoils are going on. That means goodies, goodness, blessings all around. They are coming our way. I receive my portion. Verse 13, though you have lain among the pots, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. I say amen. Amen. The silver is the Lord and the gold is his, and we have plenty of it. If it can cover the feathers of a dove, it shall cover my household. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Verse 14, when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. These are places. And high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desired to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. I think Bashan is fruitfulness. So may God cause our lives to be fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Yes, fruitful. May it be a fruitful place. May your family dwell in a fruitful place. In the name of Jesus. May my family become fruitful. Every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name. Verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. Somebody shout hallelujah. How many angels do you have around you this morning? Thousands, thousands. They surround you, they surround your children, so they're going to school, they are protected. No bully shall bully them. They shall see the angel of the Lord with the sword, and they shall flee from your children. In the name of Jesus, and those that Satan has assigned to torment your family, the Lord will strike them with his sword. Say amen. Thousands and thousands of angels go to war now. Warring angels, those who bring good things, those who take care of assignments concerning our life, go to now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Even the Lord said, I'll send my angel to go before and behind you, and he will lead you in the way. Go to now. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. The Lord is among them as in Sinai. in the holy place. Hallelujah. This is where he gave his word to Moses. Carved the word with his own mouth, and then Moses had to carve it with his hands. So somebody shout hallelujah. God says he's going to be with us in that same place. We receive your presence. Verse 18, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Say amen. Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Somebody say, I receive today's benefits. Say daily, today, tomorrow, and forever. I receive every dispensation of the benefits of the living God for me and my household and our ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. You better say amen for yourself. He that is our God is the God of salvation. Unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. Somebody say, I've been delivered from death. Say amen. Everything belongs to him. So he gets to put a check mark. You time to go or stay. Somebody say, I'm staying. Yeah, because that's your request. You say, you ask, you shall receive. I ask to stay and do more adventure here on earth. You cannot win another soul when you get to heaven. You got to do it here. Start adding more souls. You're not going to go there because your reward is going to be according to the souls you bring before him. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's not going to be about the investment you made on other things. It's going to be about souls. Somebody say, Lord, I commit myself to you and I'm delivered from death. Say amen. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one goeth on still in his trespasses. Say amen. Any trespassers shall be wounded, not just in anybody, but their head shall be crushed. Say a big amen. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of the dogs in the same. That's what he's going to do to the enemies of Israel and to your enemies. Say amen. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. So musicians, young people, joined the music. Amen. Bless you, God, and the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. These are sons of Jacob. 28, thy God had commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Those that are weak among us, may God strengthen us. Say amen. Strengthen not only you, but your tribes and the nations where you come from and this nation. Say amen. 29, because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of the spearmen and multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter down the people that delight in war. So those people who are warring and planning and plotting against you, they are going to lose their income to you. Say amen. That's what he's saying here. And he's going to deal with them. Lord, arise and let all your enemies be scattered, and my enemies. Say amen. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Every nation we go to minister the gospel, those nations, they will stretch and lift their hands towards heaven and surrender to the living God. Those hearing the sound of my voice this morning, you will surrender to the living God. In the name of Jesus. 32, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens. Hallelujah. Which were of old. Lo, He does send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellencies over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. Somebody shout hallelujah. Did you see clouds up this morning? Well, you're not going to see evil, but you're going to see the strength of the Lord coming to you. I receive the strength of the Lord. Say amen. So when you go out next time, you look up. Don't just be looking for it's going to snow, it's going to rain. You just see it. The Lord is riding upon it. And he's sending strength my way. I receive the strength of the Lord. We drove under that open heaven this morning. And that open heaven is still upon us. He's riding in this place this morning. I don't know what you came here for and what your issue is. The Lord is present. You lift your hands to him and receive what he has for you. I receive my portion in the name of Jesus. Oh God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. I receive strength and power from the living God. Rise with me. I receive strength and power from the living God. Rise and let us continue with our prayer. Lift your hands up and receive from the Lord. I receive strength and power from the living God. Ride upon my family. Ride over my family. Ride over our church. Ride over our ministry. Ride over our businesses. Ride over our children. Ride over our spouses. Ride over our siblings. Oh God, arise and let all your enemies be scattered. Whatever troubles any member of family, trouble our trouble. Trouble their trouble. Trouble their trouble. Set the captives free. Loose the chains and the bounds of wickedness from their lives. Be free in the name of Jesus. Come out from that bondage and begin to praise the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We say, arise and let all the enemies of Israel be scattered. Let the enemies of our lives be scattered. Let the enemies of Glory and Peace Church be scattered. Let the enemies of Mike Zeno Ministries be scattered. Let the enemies of Call to Victory be scattered. If you have a business name, you better call your name. Let the enemies of every member of our families, the Ephesinos and whoever, the cadets and everyone, in the name of Jesus, be scattered, be scattered, be scattered. Enemies of our seeds be scattered. Enemies of our finances be scattered. Enemies of our health be scattered. Be scattered. Say, be scattered. Be scattered. Enemies of your progress be scattered. Enemies of our progress be scattered. Enemies of our growth be scattered. Arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Every bondage be scattered. Every chains be scattered. Every power of darkness be broken. Be scattered, be scattered. Let the sword of the Lord begin to clean house. Clean, 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 clean. In the name of Jesus. Arise, O God, and let your light shine forth. Every darkness commanded to leave our presence. In the name of Jesus. Every chaotic situation be gone. Let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, there is light. Jesus is my light, and I am light. He's made us light. Somebody say, it is well with me and my household. It is well with the nation of Israel, and it's well with our nation. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise for your healing virtues, for your strength, for the work of the Lord shall go forth in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the nations that we're going to this year. Touch every nation and draw the people to you. Their hands will be lifted in surrender to you. They will call upon the name of God, Jah Jehovah, and they will call upon your name and they will surrender their lives to you, that you will have mercy upon your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray now for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls, peace and prosperity to her palaces, peace to your people, Lord. Remember your everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, remember your promises are yes and amen. Lord, all Israel shall be saved. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, carved in the palm of your hands. Israel, your firstborn. Father, we thank you that you do what you say you will do. We give you praise, for you have sworn by yourself that you will keep your promises. And so, Lord, we receive that blessing. And out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. We receive that blessing for the nation of Israel, for Canada, for United States of America, for Nigeria, and for Spain, and for Italy, and also from England, in the name of Jesus, and all the islands of the seas. Receive your people and all the ministries we are praying for, the leaders, the people, Lord, touch their lives, that they will serve the living God and not be found wanting, but giving glory and honor and majesty to your holy name. Be in the service this morning. Heal, restore, and make whole all your people. Provide for your people, for you give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Let the word of the Lord come now with power, with grace, with favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, wholeness, and rejoicing, and testimonies that saying, look what God has done, and it is marvelous in our sight. Bless all our tithes and our offerings. In Jesus' mighty name we declare it so done. Amen. Amen. Say amen. God bless you, Apostle.
God is good. Amen. This morning I want to share with us from a passage of scripture that is well known to most people. In fact, this parable is used by believers and non-believers alike. It is a story of the Good Samaritan. I want to look at certain things about this parable this morning that we should be concerned about. The passage of scripture I'm going to be reading from is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse. I'd like to start here because the Lord is addressing a situation. If I may, I will encourage you to read the entire chapter of Luke 10 because it covers a whole lot of different issues. While the Lord is teaching and speaking, the Bible tells us that a certain man, a lawyer, stood up while the Lord is busy teaching deep truth. And in fact, one of the statements he made in the 23rd verse, actually 22nd verse through the 24th. He makes a statement like this. He says, all things are delivered to me of my Father. All things have been delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. And Bible says he then turned to his disciples and said privately. That's a key statement. This was not a public statement, it was a private. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings, I want you to notice, he says, many prophets and kings have desired. It's not like they were nonchalant about, they desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Remember, it was private. And behold, a lawyer, a certain lawyer, stood up. This is not any judgment on all the lawyers that are listening. We have lots of them. It's not you. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Make note of that. That's a question. He asked a simple question, a direct question. But the Bible tells us that he asked that question to tempt the Lord. What is the temptation in that? What is the temptation in asking the question? Why does the Word of God use that word, expirazo, in that text? Well, the question tempting the Lord is about him trying to prove that he knows something that the Lord doesn't know, because he had an agenda, a thought. He thought that he knew what the answer to the question was. And so many people come to God with preconceived ideas. Let me ask you this question. If you can give me the answer. That was the temptation. Smart aleck. I'm a lawyer. I know something that you don't know. Do we come to God with that mindset? I know something. That God, I have a revelation of what this is. Let me see if you know something. If you have seen what I see, if you've heard what I hear. Huh? Everybody, even the prophets, don't know what I know. I'm the lawyer. We live in a confused world, a world that thinks that it knows. Expirazo. You wanted to prove something. Check out if the Lord knew what he was talking about. Because he's busy. He's eavesdropping. This was a private discussion. So there are certain things that people need to know that they don't know, they desired it, but I know it. So let me ask you this question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's my question. Can you tell me, teacher? Jesus said, "What is written in the law? How readest thou, since you know?" You're asking me. What do you think the answer is? I like it when the Lord turns the table on people. He just switched it. You're asking me a question, let me ask you. You, the smart aleck, what do you think it says? And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And what was the answer of the Lord? The Lord says, you got it. Wow, that's amazing. You got it right. This is the right answer. You really are smart. Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. What is the answer? Watch it, watch it, watch it. The man said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. So that's the answer for eternal life. And Jesus did not rebuke him and say, wrong. Jesus said, right on. Go do that which you just said, and you'll live. You'll have that eternal life. But he wouldn't let it rest. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Okay, I know about loving God, but who is my neighbor? Who's this neighbor that I'm supposed to love? But the Bible says he did it trying to justify himself. Attitudes. What kind of attitude do I present before God? And why is it that we try to be what we're not? Who is my neighbor? And he's asking that question to justify himself. And the word is an interesting word, which actually means that he was trying to prove that he didn't know who the neighbor is and therefore cannot be guilty. I don't know that part. I know this part. I know the God part. But I don't know this neighbor part. I know that you need to do it, but I don't know. And the Lord flushed that out by revealing his heart, by saying to him, go do exactly what you just said. Statement. What truth about God and the things of God do you know that you're not doing? You know, this is the word of God, but you're not doing it. And you have a reason for not doing it. Are we together? You have a reason for not doing it. I know what the word of God says, but I cannot because I don't understand it. Well, we have a teacher who will teach us. We have a helper who will help us. And ignorance is no excuse. He wanted to justify himself. Who's my neighbor? So the Lord explains to him who his neighbor is. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Oh, wow. Okay. I have some time. A certain man went down. That's a key statement here. Because the Lord is about to address a situation just like he did with the story of the prodigal son. You see, Jerusalem is up. Jericho is way down there. When the word of God talks about the things of the spirit, it talks about going up. But this man, this certain man, the Bible says, went down to Jericho. You know, trouble is going to hit. And so many times we are going from a high level and attaching ourselves to things that are at the lower level. But the word of God says, seek ye those things which are above, not the things which are beneath. The things that are beneath are the things that are going to bring you into corruption. Our pursuit many times is not about the things of God. When the word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. Where? When you are seeking first the kingdom of God, when your eyes are focused on the things above, God says, whatever it is that is down there, I will bring to you. I will deliver it to you. Are we together? But this man, for whatever reason, is going down to Jericho. Jericho is a place of fragrance. It's a fragrant place. Good smells. It's down there in Jericho. Jericho is the place where the people of Israel first landed in the promised land. The beginning point. In Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. The word of God teaches us something. Starting to read from verse 1 of Hebrews 6, the word of God says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. And all of those things are important. Verse 2 says, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And verse 3 says, and this will we do if God permits. If God permits what? For us to go on to perfection. Are we together so far? He says, that's where I want to take you to. But I'm not going to be able to take you there if you don't have these foundational things. But by making that statement, God is saying to us that those foundational points, that's not where you should exist. You don't live on the foundation. The foundation is not the shelter. Hello? The foundation is the foundation. But you've got to have a structure. Do we get it so far? Okay. So he's going down to Jericho. Jericho is almost like the foundational place. People who just live for the foundational things do not experience the perfection and maturity that God desires for them. God wants you to have a solid foundation, but go beyond the foundation. Don't keep on going to the foundation. Hello? Okay. So this man is going down and he wants to explore whatever it is that he wants to explore in Jericho. And in his process of going down to Jericho, the Bible says he fell. He fell amongst thieves. He's going to Jericho. There's nothing wrong with Jericho. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Jericho. But if you're going from the place of supernatural authority that God has ordained for you, and you're moving downwards, you're going to hit trouble. People who live just for the foundation always meet problems that they did not plan for. What is that foundational place? It's a place of the milk. All you want is milk. And that's where most of the church is. They just want the milk. The milk of the word. But God says, I want you to start chewing meat. There's more than the milk. Milk is for babies. Meat is for those who have teeth. God wants you to get some teeth. You are an adult, still drinking milk, you're going to have problems. Milk is for babies. Someone say, I'm not a baby. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem is a place of double peace. The city of peace. God wants you to be in that place of peace in Him. Double peace. Peace with God and peace with men. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He leaves that place and is heading to Jericho. And the Bible tells us that he fell amongst thieves. What does the thief do? The thief steals what you have. The thief cannot steal what you don't have. Hello? So, in essence, what you know gets taken from you because you're not using it. That's why a lot of believers die. They don't use what they've got and keep on growing. They just want to be babies. Any babies here? Do you know that the Word of God teaches that babes are carnal? And carnal people are enemies of God. So when you got born again, you were not born again as a baby, huh? God infused inside of you His maturity, and day by day He unfolds it as you pursue after Him. I mean, if you think when Adam was created, Adam was in the ground. No. Adam was not a baby. He was a mature man. And you are born again by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're born again by the Spirit of God. And so from the very first day you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must understand that the capacity of God's goodness and His power is already abiding inside of you, and that God is doing greater things in your life. Stop staying where you are. Because that means you're going to be robbed. This man is heading down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And if the Bible says, and fell. Someone say, and fell. That's an interesting word. Fell. That means he fell. Fell means to fall. You're looking in the wrong direction. You're supposed to be in Zion. You're supposed to be in Jerusalem. You're supposed to be in the place where the presence of God is intensive, and wanting to know more of God, not seeking the elementary things. There's more to God. The Bible says he fell among thieves, which stripped him. They stripped him of his raiment. God, the word of God says, God created us and gave to us the gift of righteousness. Hello? God created you righteous. Praise the Lord. See what the word of God says. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us about this righteousness and this true holiness. True holiness from God. You were created in the image and the likeness of God. And it is the resolve that you've got to take in yourself to understand that the God who created you that way and established you that way means for you to be saying what he says about you. That's what confession is. In Ephesians chapter 4, about the 23rd or 24th verse, the word of God says, oh, thank you. It says, and that you put on the new man. You put it on. The new man. Put it on. And that you put on the new man, which after God, like God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, put it on. Stop looking at yourself as defeated, a sinner, and all of that mess. That is what causes you to keep on going back to foundation. And God says, listen, we've laid the foundation already. The foundation is Jesus Christ and the apostolic teachings of the word. Grow up. Stop looking at sin, looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? You look unto Jesus. And as you look unto Jesus, you are being changed into that same glory. Somebody listening? Being changed into the same glory. So the more you look at him, the more you become like him. Hello? It's not going down. Not going down. Not going down to Jericho. That's not where you're supposed to be going. It was a good entry point. Yes, the walls fell down and all of that. Praise God for the miracle of Jericho. But now You've arrived in Jerusalem. You're ready in Jerusalem. Why are you going down to Jericho? Why are you, I'm being humbled. Know that you've been silly, foolish, and everything else. You're dumbing down the grace of God, the goodness of God, and thinking that you're going to accomplish something by that. No, that's not how it works. Put on the new man. And if you're going to put on the new man, get rid of the old man. Put on the new man. Wherefore, putting away lying. Speak every man truth. With whom? His neighbor. Oh, interesting. Remember, if that's what we're talking about the neighbor. He says, how you love your neighbor is to speak truth to them, not the lies of the enemy. Don't be going at your neighbor and saying, look at you, you will never make it. Look at you, you are going to mess up. Look at you, this, that, and so on. That's a lie. And it must not come out of your mouth. Gideon is a man, he's scared. He's afraid of the Midianites and the enemy. And here comes the angel. And what does the angel say? Thou mighty man of valor. Huh? Who are you talking about? You are a mighty man of valor. What about him had that valor? Nothing in the natural. When you see your brother blowing it, don't be confirming the lies of the enemy. Just speak the truth of God. My brother, God has created you and empowered you to live victoriously. And I celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Who are you talking to? The guy who just messed up. That's the guy you're talking to. Oh, you sinner, you're going to hell. You're going to burn in the hottest part of hell. You backsliding, nonsense, whatever. That's not what God said to them. That's not what God said. That's a lie. But, Pastor, that's the truth. That's what he did. I know it. And God knows it. But he's the same God who does not behold iniquity in the camp of Israel. What kind of a God is this? The God who says what he wants to see, who speaks what he wants to see, not confirm the lies of the enemy. Abraham is messing up royally, and Sarah comes and says to Abraham, Lord. Because the guy was very laudable. No. What do you want? And why are you speaking something else that is not the truth of God? Say what you want. Believe God for a breakthrough for that son, for that daughter, for that husband. The longer we say that they will not make it, the longer they confirm our confessions. So why are you griping and complaining? You said the guy or the gal is a loser, so he's losing. So what's the point? can say something different. Somebody shout hallelujah. The word of God says in Luke 10, back to Luke 10, he was stripped of his garment. Because that's what the agenda of the enemy is. To strip you of that which God has given to you. And the Bible says, and wounded him. They took what he had, and then they wounded him. The Bible tells us that the seed was going to bruise the head of the serpent. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded. Jesus was wounded for my transgression. So I can no longer be wounded for my transgressions. He was wounded for my transgression. And when you start going down to look for whatever it is you're looking for in Jericho, you're going to find out that instead of you receiving the true holiness that comes from God, you are going to try to be what you cannot be in your own strength and ability, and the end result is you're going to be wounded. You're going to be carrying the burdens of your sins. Before you know it, you can't sleep, you are popping pills, boozing, drugging yourself up, doing all kinds of stuff just to have the peace that you had in Jerusalem. Huh? How do you like those apples? Wounded. It's unnecessary. The Bible says, and they departed, they left him wounded, stripped, naked, but left him half dead. Thank God for being half dead. Because if you're fully dead, I guess nobody can help you. He's left half dead. And that's where so many believers are, half dead. And today, there's going to be a restoration, a revival. Praise the Lord. Some CPR is going to be happening right now. Glory be to God. They left him. But the Bible says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. In essence, watch this. That is not the natural path that the priest normally takes. He doesn't normally go through this street called Burroughs. He doesn't normally go through this street called Inkster. He doesn't normally go through this street called Main Street. He just happened that day to make a wrong turn and shows up on that street, on that particular road. A priest sees this guy and does not clue in, first of all, wait a minute, maybe the reason I'm on this street is to help this guy. But what does he do? In his religious mind, he thinks, I'm a priest. I cannot be touching dead people. I'm a priest. I have a service to be at. You know, the service can wait. Because the service is wherever it is that you're serving God. wherever it is that you're doing what God brought you to, that's what you're meant to do at that particular time. You see, many times you and I come into situations where we see some issue that needs to be addressed. We're not planning on it, but you saw it. Why did you see it? Ask yourself that question. Why did I see this situation? Well, maybe it's because God wants you to help do something about it. I heard about this. Well, do something about it. Or connect with somebody that can do something about it. But whatever it is, you are called to do something about this situation. Help in your own little way. You may not have all the answers, but whatever it is that you can do, do it. Or else, like the priest who saw, he saw. But the Bible says he passed by on the other side. That word is an interesting word because it is a word that has a progressive aspect to it. From being a casual sight, where you just, the corner of your eye, you see something, to the intensity of being exactly where the person is and examining the person. You can see, you know, you zoomed in a little bit, if you can understand what I mean. If you understood what I just said, wave at me. Okay. So, this is like a wide, it goes from a wide macro level to the narrowing of a micro level, where you zoom in. He saw him. Somebody say, he saw him. Hallelujah. He saw. But what did he do for him? Nothing. He just walked past him on the other side, on the opposite side. When you see a situation, what do? Do you go on the flip side? Or do you assist? Because seeing idle means that God is calling you to do something at your workplace, in your home, wherever you are in the church. You see garbage somewhere. That's not my job. You saw it. Yeah, I saw it, but it's not my job. That's going on the other side. You saw it, you picked it up, and you threw it in the garbage. That's doing something. You go to the washroom, it's messy. Stinks in here. Where's the janitor? Who are you calling? You happen to be there, clean for the next person. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been practical here. This morning, Mama came to the washroom and says, hey, you left water splash on the sink. Yeah. So I said, clean it up yourself. No. So I came to clean it up. I said, where is the water? He said, I cleaned it up already. Now that's. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know why I didn't clean up after myself. But that's not the matter. The matter is the one that saw it cleaned it. Hello. You see a problem, receive the grace to solve the problem. Don't wait for somebody else. Then comes the Levite. The priest left him just like the thieves left him. Had nothing to speak into his life. Here comes the Levite. The Levite is interesting because the Levite is supposed to be a servant. The call to serve. And the one that is called to serve as a Levite comes, the Bible says, and looked on him. But interestingly enough, it is the same word, idol. Looked on him. But this is a deeper situation. He looks. The first one saw. This one looked. Looked is very intentional. Hello? Looked. Observes. Means he stayed there a little bit longer. Who is this person? This is a person that is busy mulling in his head what he's going to do or not do. Should I or shouldn't I? Should I help him? I don't know. I don't want to get into any trouble. What if the people that jumped him come and jump me too? Heaven helps those that help themselves. Especially when they say things like, the Bible says, but there's no such verse. But it sounds really good. Are you that person that watches, examines, you know, somebody, it's like this. Let me help us a little bit. Somebody has a financial problem, and you keep on asking them this question, that question, this question. How did you get a problem? How much do you owe? And blah, blah. What is the bank saying? And what is this person saying? What are they trying to do to you? And after you've asked all of those questions, you don't provide any help. Want to be an information collector. Information collector, you know. We're collecting all the information so that you can tell BBC and CNN the ins and outs of the situation. Your brother messed up and you are asking and investigating all that you're investigating, but you do nothing to restore the brother. You do nothing. Nothing. Just enough information to tell people. You know, while I was walking down the street over there, you know, and by the way, what are these priests and Levites doing on the road going down to Jericho in the first place? That's the problem we've got. We've got a lot of priests and Levites that are on the way down, going down to Jericho, going back to. It's good to know your foundation, but hey, going down there is not going to help you. He goes and walks on the other side. just like the priest. He departed just like the priest and just like the thieves. They didn't punch the guy, but they did nothing to help him. And here comes this Samaritan, the Bible tells us. The Samaritan is heading on a journey. He's traveling. The Bible says, as he journeyed, came where he was. I contemplated that statement, where he was, for a while. Because that word was is an interesting word. You cannot say where he is, which would be right, but that's not grammatically correct in English. But in different languages, I want you to think about that word was in that sentence in your language. And you'll find out that word has the meaning of where he is. Are you with me? However, was also means that he is not there any longer. Are you with me? He's, in essence, there is not a problem I am going to encounter and leave the same way I met it. I see it, but I am going to do something about it so that that becomes the past, no longer the present. And he did that. He saw that in the realm of his spirit, because the word of God will say, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He saw him, the same word, idol. But now, it was not just a sight. It was not just a looking, but a deeper level of involvement. And he had compassion on him. And then it says, and went to him. You see that? He went to him. He went to where he was. And he began to do something about it. He did not contemplate about it. He saw the man, had compassion on him, looked at whatever resources he had available, and brought with him his kit. He's not a doctor, but he had oil and he had wine. The man is wounded and he pours wine on his wound. Did you think that would bite a little bit? Yeah. When somebody is helping you, it's not always comfortable. Help is not always comfortable. Let me say that again. Help is not always comfortable. It will end up being comfortable, but it is not always comfortable. He poured in that oil, or rather the wine, and that alcohol in it is there to create some level of disinfection. Yes? And start the process of healing. And you pour in the oil. The oil is to make certain that things don't get worse. No contamination. He had whatever it is that he had, and he passed it on. When you see somebody struggling and failing, what do? To help them stay alive. Continue. Have hope. Just the contact of somebody caring gives you some perspective to your life and says, I want to live. If only just to say thank you. The man was half dead, so you can see that he might have gone and checked on his pulse. Maybe did some CPR, whatever it is that he did. And he takes a man and puts him on his beast, his horse, his mule, his Cadillac, whatever it is. He just loaded the guy up there. Whether he rode with him or walked alongside the man, we don't know. But what we do know is this: he had every intention to make sure that this man's life was saved, even though it was going to cost him something, even though he might be delayed, he might miss his flight. It was costing him something. And basically the message of this parable is this: that it will always cost you something to help somebody else. There's nothing like helping somebody without it costing you something. You're going to sacrifice something. He sacrificed what he had to make sure that the problem was solved. I'm going to give whatever it is I need to give right now to make certain that this problem does not continue. That is the mindset that God calls us to. He says that's the mindset of people that have eternal life. People with eternal life have a given sacrificial heart. It's nothing like being a believer and not being one who sacrifices, who waits for somebody else to do it. In a world of someone else is going to do it, nobody ends up doing it. He did that for him. And let me begin to wrap. This is my first wrap. The Bible says, he poured in the oil and the wine. Bound up the wounds of the man. Put him on his beast. And brought him to an inn. When he brought him to the inn, the Bible said, and took care of him. He took care of him. He wasn't waiting for the doctors and the nurses and everybody else. He continued ministering to the man. He did not let him alone until he could hand him over to somebody else that can continue. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, said, I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus did not just go to the cross and die for us. He said, we're going to have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. And the Holy Spirit is playing that role today. And He wants to do it in you and through you. Through me and through us. We have a wall that is being beaten down right this very moment. And we can have the attitude of the priest or the Levite and just say, well, if only they did the right thing when they were being told, you know, go to school, study, then they wouldn't be this broke. Great. Thank you very much. Smart Alec, you know everything. But maybe I can be the source of the turnaround today. Maybe there's something I can do that might turn this life around. Well, if only they were not smoking up and sniffing and whatever else, doing drugs, they'll have a better life. Maybe true, but what can you do? Well, if only this and if only that. It is not the point. The point in John chapter 9, the disciples were asking the Lord Jesus Christ, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Like the man was busy kicking the mother in the tummy. And God says, ah, boy, you're going to be born blind because you are too active. That's why. Jesus said, neither, and that's none of your business, but that the will, the power of God may be revealed in the life of this man. I'm here right now when there is darkness, there is stumbling. It's not our place to identify all the problems that the world has. It's our place to know that there is a solution. And whatever solution we've got, we need to bring to the people. Amen? Hallelujah. Point, stop judging people anyhow. Oh, this person is all mixed up, he's transgender, who cares? I can come alongside and let him know that he's a guy and not a gal. Huh? I don't know how he got there. Do you? Oh, this one is gay. So what? Present Christ to him. That's what God calls us to do. Oh, this one is smoking up. Holy smokes. That's great. Help him to understand that the real high is the most high God. We lock people up. That's not our place. That's not being a good neighbor. A good neighbor says, okay, there's a problem here. What can I do to help all those sinners? Walk away. You've become one of them. You just don't know it. So he ministers to him. And when it was time to go on his journey, because he saw that he was strong enough, leaving, he said, you know what, guy, take it from here. I pay up all of his bills. Huh? They stole from him, but he comes and pays for his bills and says, and when I come back, don't charge him. When I come back, I'll pay you whatever more he consumed. If he ate too much after he got well and he started chowing down on steaks instead of hamburgers, don't worry about it. I'll pay for the steak. Doesn't matter what kind of a bill he created, I'm going to pay for it. It's on me. And that's what God Almighty is saying to every one of us. It's on me. It's on me. If he gets sick again, treat him. It's on me. If he generates any more bills than what I have provided for, it's on me. It's all on me. And God our Father is saying the same thing today. It's all on me. If you love me with all of your heart, you're going to say, it's all on me. God will provide for me to reach and to minister to this need. That's what God has called us to. If you receive this word, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop there. But I do pray and hope that you and I have the same answer, for the Lord Jesus Christ asked the question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Notice, it was not about faulting him, even though it is his fault to be walking on that dangerous path. He did not dwell on all the wrong decisions that man made. All God was interested in was on all the right decisions that were made to correct it. May God help every one of us to make those kind of decisions that will help people rather than blame people. Amen? Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we cry out for your help. Help us to represent you and represent you well. We want to walk with and in eternal life. Help us not to pursue things that we need not pursue anymore. Help us to climb up higher, to get to know you more, to experience your life more daily. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to receive our offerings and also share in communion. Let our decision always be righteous when it comes to our responsibility of giving. The question that every one of us must ask ourselves is this simple question. If everybody gives like I give, will the church and its needs be addressed, and will the church be able to do what it's called to do? If you cannot say yes to that, then you're not giving. Because it's not just about tithing. It's about giving. Tithe is not giving. When you tithe, what it means is that you're not a thief. Because people who do not tithe are robbing God. I want to be a giver, not a tither. That means that you do more than giving back to God what belongs to Him, but you deepen into the 90 that He gave to you, that He has resourced you, and say, I am so thankful that I was able to do this, but here's more. Your giving means that God is profiting. Therefore, your life will become profitable. Did you get that? You sure you did? Okay. Yeah, please. Thank you. The Lord is your source. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, has everybody been served with their communion? Does anybody need to be served communion? Okay, then rise with me. My prayer today is that every one of us be relevant, that we do not just see. Can you just give me a little bit more volume here, but not too loud, that we do not just see or look, but that we are moved with compassion to be problem solvers. That anointing of God rests upon every one of us. Every one of us in this family, our partners, that will be problem solvers, good neighbors. Say with me, Father, I receive the anointing to be a problem solver, a solution provider. I thank you for the anointing to reverse every misfortune and bring life to those that are losing it. I bless your holy name, Father, as I take communion right now. Use my life to glorify your God. Amen. And amen in Jesus' name. Take and eat.
Cup of blessing. May our lives be changed. That we will not be people who pass by and do nothing in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That we will see what is necessary to be done, that we will do it. So as you drink this cup of blessing, may you add to yourself the virtue of helping others. In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for grace.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Do we know this song? I sing praises to the Lord. The Lord, I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly. Before I release you, as you very well know, you may be seated for a moment. There was release in the last 3 or 4 weeks. This very special song, I Will Wait. Now, like anything else, it takes the body to do things completely. We now have lyrics attached to this song. So we'll play it and you can sing along with it. And then we're going to greet those that are on Zoom. But for those that are on YouTube, we'll cut off from you right after this. We look forward to seeing you tonight as we bring to you again the word of the Lord. But right now, let's listen to this beautiful song, amazing anointed lyrics. Be blessed and be highly favored. Please let your friends know that's on. Share with your friends, so that they can too go and listen and participate. We want this song to go global. Everyone that's going to come in this album, for every single one of them to be sung in Australia, sung in the US, sung in China, sung in Africa, all over the world. Somebody say, all over the world. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
And they should sing it here.
Yeah, well, of course, we sing it here often so that they need people hear it too.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't like your mother's soup, who will like it?
On you I will wait. On you I will wait. On you I will wait, Jesus. On you I will wait.
Wings like eagles, not grow weary.
Yes.